Joining us now on Front and Center is the Executive Communications Director, Better Business Bureau, serving Connecticut, a regular guest on our program, Howard Schwartz. Howard, welcome to Front and Center.
Thanks so much, Dan. Nice to be here.
Well, as always, we've got a lot to talk about, a lot of consumer-oriented issues particularly, and one of them has to do with utility company imposters. Now, I've seen this before. What's going on here?
Well, the utility company imposters essentially will call people until they dial numbers until they get somebody, and they will pretend to be somebody from Eversource, as an example, and they will tell people that they haven't paid their bill and that they have to pay over the telephone through some sort of untraceable method, like a wire transfer, and that if they don't, the police will be sent to their door and they will be arrested. And the callers are criminals. They're not affiliated with any utilities. And we've got, in other cases, actually, they may call or knock on your door to get you to switch electricity wholesalers, as we know we can do now. And then they'll simply put unauthorized charges on your invoices in a process that's called cramming. And we see these imposter schemes being used for the vast majority of scams. And these calls are just beginning to show up across the country in small pockets right now, but we have seen this over the past few years. So we have some tips that we actually got from Eversource to protect yourself from these scammers. Here's what the utilities will do or may do. They will always give notice. Customers who are scheduled for disconnection due to non-payment will receive a written notice via U.S. mail, and that will include the actions they can take to maintain their service. And utilities will also provide company identification. So, for example, a representative of Eversource, again, will carry a company-issued photo identification and will always provide it when asked. And look at it carefully, because their contractors also carry detailed paperwork about the project. And if you have any doubts, call your utility immediately. And I just wanted to put in a personal story in here. I had somebody come up my driveway, and he had a clipboard, and he said he was selling cable services for a particular company. When he said he would show his ID, he opened his wallet, closed it very quickly, and all he had hanging around his neck was a blue tag, an orange tag with blue numbering 138, which told me absolutely nothing. I didn't want to do business at my front door or over the phone, and I think that's good advice for everybody. And I asked him to leave. You know, if I'm going to choose, as we should be, proactive, I'm going to look for someone myself for those types of things. What the utilities will never do, Dan, is they will never demand immediate payment or threaten you, and they'll never ask for instant payment over the phone. Utilities will not solicit your business by knocking on your door or calling on behalf of third-party suppliers. You've got to be careful with that, because that happened to me as well. And when you don't have your statement in front of you, it's tough to tell or remember who is providing your electricity. House visits, they're very rare. There are exceptions, and they would include accessing or maintaining or ensuring the reliable and safe operation of equipment. And finally, beware of supplier solicitations. If somebody calls or shows up at your door offering to change your wholesaler, beware. And if you want to compare electricity rates, you can do so at www.energizect, that's all one word, energizect.com. And don't get left out on the cold because someone's trying to scam you.
You know, it is interesting, Howard, because I've actually experienced this at a friend's business, and they called during the height of what was a busy period for this particular business, saying that the business owed so much on its electricity bill and they needed to pay up right now, et cetera. And obviously we knew it was a scam, but, you know, that's one of the things they try to do. If they know the particular business, they'll call during what they believe is a busy time for that business.
Right. They're hoping that people will have their guard down, and they will call randomly businesses and people. And if it's someone that they just get by chance who's elderly, they'll squeeze them very, very tightly. And on the cold days, it certainly works effectively. But even in between, they might say something like, well, it was cold last week, and it might be again next week. Therefore, you should pay your bill up so you don't end up having your electricity turned off. And that's one of the best tools that a scammer has, and that's fear. And it works, and Better Business Bureau and Eversource are urging consumers to be aware of this scam. Tell your family and your friends and your neighbors and colleagues about this scam, because there's no reason why anybody should be frightened about having their electricity or gas cut off.
Incidentally, obviously you should always pay your bills, but there's also a period where Eversource cannot turn off electricity, right?
That's correct, at a certain temperature. Unfortunately, Dan, I don't know what that temperature is right now.
Well, and I also think it's something like between November and March or whatever. But anyhow, people need to be aware of that. And as you said, they shouldn't be panicked into that kind of a situation. Well, another thing I want to talk about is, and I see this all the time, free trials, discounts, introductory discounts. Why should we have our guard up when that comes down the pike?
Well, because most of the time we are asked to provide a credit card number. And let's start off, for example, with a free product trial. There are enough problems involved in buying these products that that the regulators have stepped in, and they've obtained a court order permanently banning a company that markets skincare products, and they're barred from deceptive marketing and billing practices. Now, according to the court papers filed by the Federal Trade Commission, the problems involved false advertising for what the defendants promoted as risk-free, and consumers were told the trial of these skincare products was free as well. But they were asked for their credit card numbers to cover what the company said were nominal shipping charges. But the FTC says defendants then loaded the charges onto victims' credit cards to the order of $97.88 every month for products that the victims never ordered. It's called cramming, putting on charges or putting on unauthorized charges. So the skincare marketers were promoting products that were really not the gift that keeps giving. I would say more along the lines of the gift that keeps taking. So in court action, the marketers were also charged with misrepresenting their accreditation. They claimed they were accredited by Better Business Bureau, which they're not. And that's one reason we encourage consumers to come right to the source to check on a seller to see if there are any complaints. So that's the product side of it. And we see the same thing for weight loss products and nutritional supplements as well. Give us your credit card and we'll give you a free trial. And then you have to ask yourself, is this real? It does not, by the way, mean there's anything wrong with the products that these folks were selling, and the manufacturers were not involved in any wrongdoing. It was these marketers who were selling, and we see them all over the internet, sometimes on television. And I suppose this begs the question, is there really any such a thing as a totally free trial or a discount? And introductory discounts are a common way to allow us to try a product or service at a reduced price for a finite period. The problem is if you don't opt out when that discount period is over, you can expect the price to jump, sometimes substantially. And free trials can be risky. That said, there are some legitimate free trials and offers. Do a search online, but read the fine print. So we do have a couple of tips here. Read the terms and conditions carefully. The print should tell you, the fine print, when the trial begins, when it ends, whether you will continue to be billed, and what's involved in canceling the trial or discount. And I know a lot of folks who are listening are saying, well, yeah, but you know, let's get the free products. You've got to really take your time, especially because you're giving them your credit card. What I do is I mark this on the my calendar when I sign up so that a few days before that period is up, I'll say, all right, well, do I want to continue with this product or not? And it could be something like cable TV or what have you. What will it really cost? It's not a free trial if you have to give out the credit card number for shipping and handling. And you should know whether or not you're signing a contract. Sometimes a discount will apply for 1 month before a year-long contract begins. So you might want to make sure, you definitely want to make sure that you're not signing a contract if you don't want one. Carefully review your financial statements. This is good all year round. And this will also tell you whether a company has placed any unauthorized charges on your credit card. And aside from that, people make mistakes, and you want to catch them and report them right away. And don't believe everything you read or hear or see. And that's not for skincare products, but also those supplements. And these supplements are under the scrutiny of lawmakers for a bunch of reasons, but supplements are not magical. And in fact, some of them may interfere with the efficacy of other medications you're taking. And that can include not only health problems, but it can be, unfortunately, potentially fatal. So speak to your doctor. So I suppose the question we ask at the end of this is, when is a gift not a gift? Now we know.
Talking with Howard Schwartz, Executive Communications Director, Better Business Bureau, serving Connecticut, here on Front and Center. This is an interesting story, Howard. An electronic health records company has settled with the FTC about privacy of MD reviews. Why is this important?
It's important because, first of all, it can be very expensive if you write a nasty review, not only for doctors, but for other companies as well. And some will actually force you to sign an agreement that you won't post a review. And lawmakers are not happy about that. And I don't think there are many companies that would dare to do that right now. Well, according to the FTC, the company is called Practice Fusion, and it's an electronic health record company. And the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, says it misled consumers by soliciting reviews for their doctors without disclosing that these reviews would be publicly posted on the Internet, meaning that would be the public disclosure of patients' sensitive personal and medical information. These folks have absolutely no idea that it's going to happen. So the settlement will prohibit Practice Fusion from making deceptive statements about the privacy or confidentiality of the information it collects from consumers. So the way they sum it up at the Federal Trade Commission is that consumers who clicked on a 5-star rating image in the email were taken to an online survey form about their recent medical visit. And the survey included a text box where patients could enter any information they wished, really, with a set of characters and a limit on it, sort of like Twitter. Now, because patients likely thought the information was only shared with their provider, many of them included in this text box their full name or phone number, along with personal health information. And it ended up on the Internet. So the reason that we're talking about this today is because we give out an awful lot of information. And for example, there are folks who don't want to use a healthcare company's website because it asks for that information. And as we saw with Anthem, and we're not picking on them, it happens to a lot of companies, Anthem had a data breach, and the quality of the information that was taken was enough, certainly, for an identity thief to steal your information. So before you do a review, before you click anywhere on the Internet, make sure that you read the terms and conditions. Unfortunately, this company, Practice Fusion, the reason it's charged with deceptive marketing is because it never told people that their information would be published online. So I would say, really, err on the side of caution. You never know what's going to be on the Internet, and we can assume it'll be there forever.
You know, and I'm sure some of the people will agree with me on this. Part of the problem, particularly in this day and age of touchscreens, whether you're using a touchscreen computer or a touchscreen tablet, if you will, you'll click on something that you think is legit, or you actually click on a story and it takes you to another website, Howard.
That's right. And when you get to that other website, it may look like an official, authentic website if it's tax tips or whatever, and it may ask you for personal information. And that's if you're lucky. It'll take you to a website like that. If you're very unlucky, you'll click on something. Some website will come up, but what will happen is you've got a virus that you can download into your computer. And the Internet went down a couple of weeks ago, as you remember, and a good percentage of the country was affected. And the way this hack was carried out was the hackers used the computers of people like you and me and anyone else that was infected with this virus. And in order to help shut down parts of the Internet, they used our computers and absolutely jammed as many emails and other things as they could onto the internet. And that's what took it would be equivalent to having 10,000 letters arriving in your mailbox every hour. So it brings up the question of how we can contribute or not contribute, rather, to something like that. And the simple thing is, and it protects us too, is not only have anti-spyware and anti-malware, but you've got to update every week, and you should be scanning your computer every week, because now you probably won't know that you have a virus. And I think that if enough people take those precautions, the next time that the scammers try and tie up the internet or bring it down, they won't have as many computers to be able to use for that. So clean up your computer, make sure you don't have viruses, and hopefully your computer will not be used to slow down the internet.
Yeah. That was going to be my next point, the fact that you need to scan on a regular basis. You're saying once a week.
I'm saying once a week, because if you're using your computer, you really don't know where it's going to come from. And I use safe computing practices, obviously here at Better Business Bureau and also at home. But occasionally I'll get a pop-up that says with a mechanical voice that there's something wrong with my computer. Don't close the browser. I have to call a number. And of course, it's nonsense. And people will be frightened again. They won't close their browser. I just shut the whole thing down because I don't know what is causing that pop-up to come on the computer at work or at home. I stick to legitimate sites. So that's why we've got to be so careful and try and do it every week if you're on once a week even. And do it once a week even if you're not using your computer. Because essentially anti-spyware and anti-malware programs constantly update because of the different types of viruses that come out. So you want to make sure that if you're not using the computer this week, next week or the week after, you're already protected to a great degree. And before you do your scan, update it again and make sure that you do scan your computer. And you might be surprised at some of the things you'll find in there.
Well, you know, it is interesting because on occasion, I don't know if you've gotten it, but on occasion, I'll be on my tablet, if you will, or even on a laptop computer, and it'll pop up of I've won an Apple iPhone, or I've won an iPad. And, you know, I immediately X that out.
Yeah. The other thing that the scammers use is our desire to get something for nothing. And those types of offers are very dangerous for several reasons. Pardon me. We know that, for example, texts can carry links that can download viruses. And they can do it as well in smartphones, and they can do it in tablets. So if you don't know who the text is from, and I remember for the past few years, there were major retailers or people posing as major retailers sending people a little link in a text saying, click here to get a coupon worth $20 or get a free smart device, exactly as you said.
It's work owning a computer, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it depends. If you have the computer and you don't turn it on, sometimes people think that's better.
Howard Schwartz, Executive Communications Director, Better Business Bureau, serving Connecticut, our guest on Front and Center. And speaking of scams, Facebook scams, what should we know about Facebook scams?
Well, the first thing we should know is that the criminals watch the headlines. And based on that, they will put things on the internet that you can click saying, it's usually sensational. For example, here's Robin Williams' last few words before he committed suicide. Or they'll say that here's some spectacular footage of Osama bin Laden being killed, those types of things. People are curious. They'll click on it. And if they do so, again, you can get a virus. You can have all sorts of problems. And one of those is that I've had friends whose accounts have been hacked, and I get links from them. I know it's not them because of the writing style, but you can end up getting these from pretty much anyone. And the other danger of social media sites, because they rely so much on advertising, is you get pop-up ads. And there have been problems. I mean, Facebook and Twitter and the rest of them, they watch as best they can when you have millions of people on your system, and they try and identify these types of links. But it's certainly a daunting proposition to try and do that. And in particular, we should be careful about things like Facebook IQ tests and quizzes and other content designed to get you to click on links. And many of these Facebook applications, if you don't have an account, just to let people know, an application is a little add-on you can put on your Facebook page that will either be a garden you can attend to, or it could be an IQ test, any of these things. Well, these are called clickbait scams, and the apps can do more damage than just clutter up your Facebook feed. A clickbait scam, you click on an ad that you think is legitimate, and it's going to download a virus, and some of the others are phishing scams, and what they'll do is they'll burrow into your computer and look for personal information, passwords, and so on. And the IQ test, by the way, the app, applications ask you for a cell phone number before you can obtain the results. And if you enter your number, you may begin to receive junk texts on your cell phone and a monthly charge, if you can believe that, of $9.99 or more. So, especially at this time of year and us wanting to get discounts and coupons, we've got to be extra careful. And if someone sends you a link with something sensational, I received one saying, these are photos you're probably going to want to see, or a video or whatever, and it was nonsense. You know, if you take your the mouse on your computer, and a lot of folks don't know this, if you have a link and you move your mouse on top of it, don't click the link, but a little box will pop up, and that will tell you what website it'll take you to. And if you see that it's taking you to a website that has nothing to do with the products that they're selling or nothing to do with Facebook, that can give you an idea that it's a dangerous link and to stay away from it. Put your cursor over the link and that box will pop up. It's very handy, actually.
You know, part of the problem, Howard, and I know you're talking about Facebook and social media, but sometimes when you get on these legitimate websites and you scroll down to the bottom, you see these links with a picture that take you to an actor's last words, so to speak. So I would guess you need to watch out about that, too.
Yes, and especially social media, because a lot of folks look to social media as their prime source of news and information. And unfortunately, that information, we see how quickly these rumors spread like wildfire about celebrities being dead who aren't, various celebrities whose shows get canceled, those types of things. And you mentioned the links at the bottom, which is interesting, because in spam emails or infected emails, sometimes it'll have several places to click. And let's use an example. You get what looks like an email from the Internal Revenue Service, and it'll say, click here to update your information. Click here if you want to contact IRS customer support. And when you take a look at taxpayer support, and if you do that thing with your cursor and put it over those links, you may find all of those links have the same destination. You will not be sending an email. You will not be taken to a page for personal information. You'll be taken to a page no matter what you click on that web page. So be very, very careful. Be very choosy about what you click on. And again, we're coming up to a season where we want to get the best possible price. We're spending a lot of time online, and this is prime time for the scammers. But we can protect ourselves, as we mentioned here.
Howard, if people want to find out more information about what we talked about, how can they do that?
Certainly, they can go to bbb.org/CT, and you can reach us at 860-740-4500, and we're always happy to help.
Howard Schwartz, Executive Communications Director, Better Business Bureau, serving Connecticut. Howard, as always, thank you for joining us on Front and Center.
My pleasure, Dan. Take care now.